Tony and Jenny Brewski here from Real Ghost Stories Online. There has never been a better time than now to be an EPP, extra podcast person, to Real Ghost Stories Online.
There's more exclusive content than ever before.
Plus, our new EPP website is up and running where you can access all of our exclusive content anywhere you want on any device. Exclusive video, all of the archived episodes, it's all there when you sign up to be an EPP at realghoststoriesonline.com.
It's only $5 a month.
And that goes to keeping our show on the air and alive. Sign up now, become an EPP, and enjoy all of the bonus episodes for yourself when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Just click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a subtle and mysterious warning comes true for one listener. A grandmother warns a little boy that his bad behavior will send him to the devil. What was it that he saw that scared him into behaving? After losing her home, a little girl is terrified by the entity in their temporary housing. And two women are sure they hit a pedestrian on the highway, only that pedestrian vanished. Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hi there.
Have you ever hit anything on the road and then looked back and it wasn't there?
No, and I've only ever hit anything once, and it was a bunny.
You hit a bunny?
It was an accident. And our oldest daughter was 3 at the time, so I couldn't even, you know, tell you that I hit it because she'd flip out because she was in the back seat.
Was I in the car?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you were in the car.
Oh, you didn't say anything?
No.
You weren't like, I just hit Thumper.
No.
No. What? There would still be drama today about that.
And I tried not to.
Well, you don't aim for them.
No.
It's just, you know, sometimes they run. I remember being on a road trip when going to Black River Falls, Wisconsin.
Okay.
With my aunt and my mom. And on the way up there, we hit a cat.
Ooh.
By mistake. I mean, it was a farm, you know, it was out in the woods farming area in Wisconsin. And all of a sudden the thing just darted out in front of the car, and then you could feel like the thud.
Ooh.
And it was like, oh God. And it was, I mean, I felt horrible. I mean, I wasn't driving. I was like 8, but I felt horrible because
mm-hmm.
I love cats.
Sure.
And it was just like, oh God. And you look back and he, you know, I don't know. He kept going. So, I don't know. Hopefully he made it. Cats are amazingly resilient.
Yeah, but he may have just hobbled off to die.
Maybe. I like to think that he went off and, you know, had a wonderful, prosperous life after that and went on to star in Morris the Cat food commercials.
If you felt the thud, he had issues.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
But that's not what I tell myself.
Okay.
I had a cat that I would play with in a large refrigerator box. Because there's nothing better than playing with boxes when you're a child. And there was a little tiny opening, like no bigger than like an iPhone, okay?
Uh-huh.
That's like the opening that was in the side of the box. And that cat, it wanted to get out of the box so badly because I was in there with it and I was 5. And it was a cat. And it somehow managed to like scrunch its body in.
Yeah.
To such a tiny compartmentalized way. I don't know if like their ribs collapse or what the hell they do.
If they can get their head through, then they can fit through.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That is utterly amazing that they can do that.
If they're a normal healthy sized cat.
Yeah.
If they're like the world's fattest cat, then that's not going to happen.
Yeah. Then they get kind of stuck and ends up, you know, on Pinterest somewhere. But yeah, I was just amazed by that fact of what kitties can do. So anyhow, enough about cats. Our phone number is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us. We would absolutely love to hear it here on Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, you can also write in through our website at realghoststoriesonline.com. So lots of ways to get stories to us. I kick off the show today with a letter from Anonymous. Hi, Tony and Jenny. I absolutely love your show. I'm definitely a skeptic. But I suppose that is why I have become slightly obsessed with my quest to understand the strange experiences I've had over the years. Many seem like they could just be coincidence. When I was a child, I used to see things that other children didn't. Having grown up in an Italian household, my Nona, Italian for grandmother, used to call me Zingrela, which means gypsy. She thought of me as having extra sensory abilities. I don't know if she was right, but I generally don't talk about this to anyone. The only time I've ever experienced the paranormal was as a prediction of the future with a very important message to tell me or to warn of impending danger. The most unexpected and complicated warning that I have ever experienced was a very strong and very obvious warning for the safety of my now husband, then boyfriend, and my brother. It did terrify me, even though I could see the message unfolding. And after a while, I became quite grateful. One night, many years ago, my husband and I were house-sitting for his aunt and uncle. Their house is situated in an area with large plot properties, with a huge rolling garden and a very large six-bedroom farmhouse. They had two large dogs that lived outside and no cats or pets inside the house. He only had access to his cousin's bedroom. All the other bedrooms in his house were locked. His cousin's bed was a single bed, a beautiful antique wooden bed with a frill that went right to the floor. My husband and I were getting ready for bed and decided to run a bath. While he was running the bath, I went into the bedroom and walked around the bed to the gap between the wall and the bed. Here, right up against the wall, I found a nebulizer. I picked it up and asked my husband what it was. He told me, and I put it down again. Where I placed it was bare carpet with no other objects around it. We eventually went to sleep, and somewhere in the middle of the night, I woke up at the sound of what sounded exactly like bare feet walking or shuffling on the carpet near the foot of the bed. Since I am much shorter than my husband, I assumed it was him rubbing his feet together. So I scooched down the bed to feel his feet, and nothing. The sound continued. I tried to listen out for the dogs, thinking they were outside the window, but they started barking at the bottom of the garden. The sound continued right at the foot of the bed. I began to feel terrified and tried to wake my husband up, but I couldn't move. I lay dead still for a long time, listening with my heart pounding so hard that it was making me shake. Eventually, I must have passed out from sheer exhaustion. The next morning, we woke up at 4 a.m., This was because my husband was leaving on a tour bus with his university class on a tour of the country, and the bus was leaving at 6 a.m. Incidentally, my brother, with whom I'm very close, was also leaving on a rugby tour with his school at the same time. I walked past my husband while he was sitting on the bed, having forgotten about the terrifying sounds the night before. He grabbed me and tried to hug me, pulling me over him, making my head lean over the side of the bed where the nebulizer had been the night before. What I saw made me scream and jump off of him. On the floor, right against the wall where it was bare the previous night, was a book. The name of the book is what scared me the most. Now, I know this sounds too Hollywood, but I promise you it happened. My husband remembers it and tries to come up with other ideas as to what it was. Maybe I was sleepwalking and put the book there. I couldn't understand how it had gotten there. Anyway, getting back to my story, the name of the book was Angel of Death, a novel about a tour bus traveling through Ireland where all the inhabitants died. I cried and cried. I was so worried about my brother and husband. They were both going on a tour bus. I didn't know what to do. I just cried and cried. My husband tried to tell me that it was all in my imagination and maybe I bumped the book walking past the bed. When I looked under the bed, I saw a pile of books stacked under the bed. So that was where it came from. Thought maybe I did just bump it, or maybe it fell over. But nothing made sense. I reluctantly said goodbye to both my brother and husband that morning. The next 2 days, I felt heavy and worried. One afternoon, I had the overwhelming need to call my husband and ask him to check the wheels on his tour bus. I told him I had a very bad feeling about it. He made fun of me. I could hear him laughing and teasing me and telling his friends about how crazy I was. They all laughed in the background. I didn't care and asked him to just humor me. About 10 minutes later, he called and told me, "You won't believe what just happened," sounding much more serious this time. He said that the bus at the front of their two-bus convoy had gotten a flat tire, and when they stopped on the side of the road to check it, they found out that the wheel was being held together with only one bolt. If it had come loose, the wheel would have fallen off, which I think could have killed them. I suddenly felt very light, and I knew that I didn't have to worry anymore. A while later, I told my mother about it, and she said that his aunt, her sister, had woken up one night to a little girl standing at her bedside. When she switched on the bedside lamp, she disappeared. I wonder if this little girl was giving me a warning, which didn't seem to even need me to do anything because the flat tire helped them to find the faulty wheel without my help. Sorry for the long story. I have many more strange messages and prophetic dreams that I've experienced that I will write in about next time. I'd love to know what you think it might have been. Who knows? Could have been sleepwalking and digging out books that fitted my subconscious worry that was already in my mind.
I don't know. I think there's too much of a coincidence there. Now, whether or not it just slid out from under the bed, but the fact that it happened to be that book, it's just enough. You know, it's kind of like, what's the worst possible thing you could think of before your loved one goes on some kind of trip or voyage or whatever, and there it is, just laying right there.
I'm trying to figure out what was the purpose, though, of her being aware of this or getting the worry if her warnings really didn't make anyone take caution or look into anything. It was the flat tire that ended up making them notice there was something wrong. It wasn't a call from her going, "Please check your tires." Even though she said that, they still didn't check the tires.
Sure.
What was the purpose of her being aware as well?
I don't know.
Or was that maybe just the goal of the entity letting someone know, hoping that, well, if she says something, maybe they'll check their tires and this will prevent this. And when that didn't happen, when they still didn't check, then they had to take some other action, make the tire go flat.
Yeah, kind of a plan B to get noticed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe the ghosts don't always know exactly how it's all going to pan out. It's just you're still trying to manipulate the environment around you. You can't see into the future still.
Yeah. Well, I would definitely put that ghost into something that's not malevolent then, if it's trying that hard to make things known that,
sure,
hey, you need to pay attention or somebody's going to get hurt.
What would be horrible about that is then every single time you have like a bad feeling about something, which for me, it can be like all the time.
Uh-huh.
You always like feel like, oh, what if this, you know, and like 99.9% of the time, nothing bad ever happens. Mm-hmm. When you have like a confirmation like that of something where something bad really potentially could happen, you'd be worried about everything.
Yeah.
To like such an extreme because, well, this will get verified once. What about now? I would literally be a hermit at that point.
I think I'd rather not know a lot of those things.
Yeah, I don't think I'd want to either. Interesting story. Thank you for writing that in. The phone number here is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us. Of course, you can also write in on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you've not done so yet, please consider becoming an EPP, extra podcast person. Get all those bonus episodes of the show right there on the EPP website anytime you want. Exclusive video content, Ask Tony and Jenny video segments, and there's a lot more coming to the site as well, including something I just discovered the other day, and I mentioned this on yesterday's show. Once you reach so many episodes on iTunes, like, you just, those episodes disappear past that point, and we've gone past that point on iTunes with the amount of episodes that we have out there. So a lot of our original episodes, you can't find them on iTunes anymore. They still exist. So we're going to add those to the EPP archive.
Okay.
So people can still get some of those episodes and hear them, especially for our new listeners, in case you missed them. Some of our early episodes, the first three episodes of the show were really good. You weren't even on them yet.
No.
But it was, there were interviews with the gentleman who created the documentary about the Miamiville Horror, where he interviews one of the children who experienced my Amityville Horror and how it's affected him his entire life. And very, very interesting look into that film and the director's take on all of that. And also, Andrea Perrin was our second show, actually episode 2 and 3 of the of Real Ghost Stories Online, and that was talking about The Conjuring. And she was one of the children that was portrayed in that movie, but she actually lived it in real life, and her account of that was just amazing, really interesting interview. And we're going to have that, and I think every month I'm going to go through, see what's been knocked off of iTunes. Just because we've put new episodes out, and then add to the EPP archive with that. And that's not replacing bonus episodes or anything. It's just in addition to.
It's a good place to keep that to where it's not gone.
So the content will still be there. Mm-hmm. It's just our EPPs will get it. So so if you want to check out that stuff, there's going to be so much content on our EPP site, not only with the EPP episodes and the new ones every single week, but there's darn near 50 episodes that I have to put up there that have been knocked off of iTunes. So I'll be adding those shortly to the EPP website. So you have even more to dig through. That's like almost 100 episodes in total, if you count all of it, that'll be up there just for our EPP. So lots of good stuff up there. It's only $5 a month. And that is what keeps us on the air, your $5 a month donation. Or you can sign up for a full year if you want as well. Alessandra writes in, "Hi guys, my name is Alessandra. I'm from Los Angeles. I enjoy listening to your stories. I think you two do a great job with the show and provide a welcoming place for people to come together and share their experiences. This experience didn't happen to me. I'm honestly happy it didn't. It happened to my younger brother when we were kids. I don't remember how old we were exactly, but I do remember the events clearly, as if it only happened yesterday. We were in a duplex. My grandparents live upstairs and we live directly under them. We, my mom, brother, and I always spend more time in my grandparents' home than we do in our own. We're all very close. Well, one evening we were all up at my grandma's house and my brother and I started arguing over an iPod. You know, typical situation where kids don't share. My mom started lecturing my brother about being nice, but he only threw a larger fit. We weren't the type of kids to ever do that, so I was honestly in shock that he was behaving that way. My mother told him to go home if he couldn't be nice, the equivalent of go to your room, I guess. Instead of deciding sharing was best, my brother decides he'd rather go home. On the way down, my grandma tells my brother that Satan loves bad kids who don't listen to their parents." Oh, I wish my mom said that to me. That would have been, oh, really? It's what we grew up hearing. Satan loves bad kids who don't listen to their parents. The devil's going to come get you if you don't listen to your parents. I don't think I ever believed any of it until that night. My brother stormed off with an I don't give a fuck type attitude and even said he wasn't scared. He didn't seem fazed at all. I saw him confidently leave and there was no hesitation in the way he stomped down those stairs or slammed both doors shut behind him. About 5 minutes later, my uncle comes upstairs. He was getting home from work and he's carrying my brother upstairs. He said he found him on the walkway from our door to my grandma's, curled up in a ball, shaking violently, and unable to speak. It was literally just a bunch of sounds mixed together, but nothing anyone could understand. All the color was completely drained from his face. We talked to him, but he couldn't hear us. It was like he was gone. My mom kept yelling at him to answer her, but he couldn't seem to be able to hear or see anyone. He wouldn't react. My mom suddenly slaps the kid and things seem to register. He looks around and starts sobbing in a way that he hadn't before that night or ever since. When he finally calmed down enough to talk, he told us all what had happened. He said that as soon as he slammed our door shut, he heard this slow, heavy breathing in our house. He said it came from all directions, so he didn't know where to look for it first. I don't know why he just didn't get out at that point, but he decided he was going to his room. Before entering the hall, he described feeling all the hairs on his body stand on end. Still, he moved forward. There was a huge antique mirror in our hallway at the time. We were both too short to look into it. He looked into the mirror on his way to his room and said he stopped in his track. He says that the thing in the mirror took up the whole thing. He said it had horns that
that it looked like it wasn't in the mirror, but right behind him. He said he felt the most fear he's ever felt and helplessness all at once. He said that getting out of the house was the hardest thing he's ever done. He said his legs felt so heavy, as if he had weights too heavy for him to lift, as if all his energy was leaving him. As he was looking at the thing in the mirror, he said the breathing never stopped. My uncle was so shaken up by this that he went down to investigate for himself. He never found anything, but I'm assuming he was scared because he came up as quickly as he went down. My brother never described what he saw in detail. He refused to give any other details other than what I share here. I asked him about it the other day, and he got extremely serious and said, "You don't ever want to see him. Don't ever ask me again." He's an open book, but this is the one thing he gets upset over when asked. I have other stories to share with you guys, ones I've experienced myself. They're all pretty dark, and I've only told a few people. I look forward to sharing soon. Take care.
Well, I guess he learned his lesson.
I'm going to go out on a limb here.
Okay.
And I don't want to offend our writer by any means, but that's a very bizarre thing to say to a child.
Yeah.
You know, oh, Satan loves that. It's like, yeah. And maybe I'm completely off on this, but I'm somehow wondering, and correct me if I'm wrong, maybe I'm completely off, but I'm somehow wondering, was it the grandma that was saying this?
Mm-hmm.
If the grandma somehow, you know, in some way of trying to teach the children a lesson or try to keep them in line, was somehow involved in calling up something to scare the children.
Okay.
Was involved in something,
mm-hmm.
conjuring something up, you know, as a way of keeping them in line, or it's what she believed was right. I don't know. It was not alluded to in the story. It's just my, I don't know, guess.
Well, I even thought at first maybe that was his way of getting back at the adults.
Sure.
Just to fabricate the story, but the way he still wouldn't talk about it as an adult and
yeah.
was very serious about it says something obviously scared him very, very much when he was a child.
I just feel like some door was opened somewhere mm-hmm. here for this to happen. And it may, I guess, you know, you could look at it as may just been as simple as, you know, someone, you know, in saying those things repeatedly, you know, the mm-hmm. devil loves this, like calling up the devil, or if there was something more involved
mm-hmm.
there. I don't know. She may have been a lovely lady that baked blueberry muffins and had nothing to do with conjuring up Satan.
Okay.
But...
Yeah.
I just want to throw it out there. How well did you know her? Is that even a possibility? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's just my guess. I could be completely off base, but it just seems a little odd.
Okay, so where this entity came from is more the debate.
To me, it's how did it, why was it there? Why was it conjured up? I mean,
yeah.
It clearly sounds like something dark. It doesn't sound like it was... You know, William, the former tenant of that home that, you know, collected cats,
mm-hmm.
it sounds like it was from hell.
Mm-hmm.
So it to me, it sounds like it was somehow invited in or conjured in somehow. And I'm just wondering, with the connection of the grandmother saying that shit frequently to the kids, and then this happening, the two, there's a correlation there.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know.
But that's my guess. Again, I apologize if it was she was a lovely lady. I don't know. Or is a lovely lady. I don't know. But that's there just seems like to be something odd there.
She's going to write in and say her grandmother was Betty White.
Exactly. Well, then, of course, it's the devil. You know, if it was B. Arthur, then it's a little more, but Betty, not Betty.
Not Betty.
Yeah, not Betty. I like Rue McClanahan. McClanahan? Yeah,
McClanahan. They're all gone but Betty.
I know. Rue was funny. Blanche.
Mm-hmm.
She was my favorite on the show. She was funny. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories on Lime. On Lime. It's like the that chip, the limon chip or the Lyman chip.
Lyman chip.
Lyman chip. Is it limon
it's
or
like
Lyman?
Lemon lime, but it's It's L-I-M-O-N, and mm-hmm. I'm not sure why it's spelled that way.
Because there's Bacardi Limon, is okay. how you say that. But remember when Sprite used to be marketed as Sprite with Lyman?
No.
That used to be like the marketing term of Sprite, because they used to market it as this magical fruit that was half lemon, half lime, and they called it a Lyman.
Okay.
So, I don't know.
I don't know. That was the first time I'd ever seen those chips.
Well, this is a mystery for the ages.
There you go.
It truly is. There was some that, I got to read the email. There was someone that was commenting on what we talked about the other day about our food and eating haunted food or drinking haunted drinks.
Oh, okay.
And it was like, I believe the title of the email is Haunted Cheesecake.
Yes, Haunted Cheesecake. That's we did talk about that.
We were discussing Haunted Cheesecake. Let's see if I can, I have it here. I have not read it yet. Cheesecake. I have never heard of anyone being possessed by eating spirit-infested food. However, I'm sure it will scare the shit out of anyone. Oh, there we go. That's all it is. Uh-huh. I thought they were going to have something.
Okay.
Oh, I get it. There's
yeah. I get it.
Ha, ha, send. There we go. Thank you, Dorianne, for that little bit of insight into haunted food. Here's our next letter. When I was in sixth grade, our house caught fire and we had to stay in a house the insurance company provided. The minute I walked in, I could tell something was off. The air was heavy with negative energy. Many things happened in the time we were there, from small things like hearing footsteps upstairs while I and my entire family were eating dinner, to scarier things like hearing a girl screaming and pounding on the closet door in the bedroom where my little brother was supposed to sleep. We were so scared we ended up sharing a room. But the story I wanted to share with you guys today was one of the scariest things that has ever happened to me. One day I was helping my mom unload some things, and she wanted me to take a few things down to the basement cellar, which latches shut from the outside. I brought the stuff down there, went into the cellar, and put everything away. As soon as I put down the last item, the cellar door slams shut and locks. The lights began to flash on and off, and as I looked around the cellar, I could see a little girl about my age. As the lights went off and back on, she came closer and closer to me. I started screaming for my mom and pounding on the door. In seconds, my mom was there asking me what was wrong. I couldn't sleep for a week. It felt like someone was watching me from that point on. This memory still scares me. I have a few more I'll save for another day if you want to hear more. I love you guys and the show. Keep up the good work.
It just goes to show, sometimes a really good story can be a really short story.
Sure.
And that imagery of the lights flashing off and on and the girl being closer every time the light came on, that's just creepy and scary.
Horrible.
Yeah.
I'd be chucking dill pickle jars at it.
Yeah, because that's what's in our cellar.
Like, what happened to all the pickles? I was getting the demon girl. And then that would work out really well. Wasn't that we had a story once of a cellar?
We had a couple stories of a cellar.
Yeah, and like all the jarred items got destroyed
mm-hmm.
by whatever the entity was.
Yeah, and then there was one that involved brewing root beer.
Yeah, there was another one like that mm-hmm. too. Yeah, interesting stuff. It almost makes you wonder, we might have talked about this back then when we had those stories, was the entity trying to help? Was there something wrong with those products? And it was like, I'm going to break these so you don't consume them and get botulism and kick it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Ghosts preventing botulism on the next Maury. Is Maury still on?
I have no idea. That was the dumbest thing you've ever said.
No, it wasn't. I said many other dumb things. Maury sounded better than Jenny Jones.
Oh, gosh.
Remember Jenny Jones?
Yeah.
Remember when Carney Wilson had a show, too?
No.
Oh, hold on for one more day. We will find that on YouTube. Leslie writes in, I have only had one truly strange event in my life. My story is short. In the early 1980s, I lived in San Diego. One morning, I was carpooling into work with a friend. She was driving, and we were heading down the Pacific Highway. It was about 6:30 a.m. The morning was a little gray, but not fogging or hazy. I see a man standing alongside the road. He looked to be in his late 20s, dressed in jeans and a casual pullover top like what the beachgoers wear. As we approached, he dashed out onto the highway right in front of us. I started to scream as my friend hit the brakes. The man then disintegrated right in front of the car. If I had been alone, I would have thought that my mind was playing tricks on me. But both of us saw this happen. Made for an interesting day at work. I'd be interested if anyone over the years has seen this man on Pacific Highway. There were never any stories while I lived in San Diego. I moved away in the late 90s. I have not found anything online about this person.
I think it's a residual. Somebody either jumped out into traffic on purpose or stepped out and got killed. And I just think it's a residual that plays over and over certain times of the day.
Like the train lady the other day.
Yes.
It just keeps going.
Mm-hmm.
The Energizer Bunny.
And the thing is, it's too late once you see it to try and stop. Mm-hmm. And you think you killed somebody, but they're not even there.
I wonder how often dash cams catch ghosts.
Ooh, I don't know. That would be interesting.
You know, in our country, it's not super common. In Russia, like, everyone has them. That's why when that meteor hit that one night,
yeah,
it was captured by so many people in like every possible angle you could imagine. I know it's like slowly kind of becoming more of a thing here in the States. I imagine, I don't know, 10, 20 years from now, maybe everyone will have one. But I wonder how often people are catching them that do have dash cams.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be really interesting, especially when, you know, people driving by graveyards and,
sure,
and all that. Just or capture them and never realize it.
Yeah.
Because imagine a dash cam. It probably just records like an infinite loop, you know, like the last 8 hours of footage. And if for some reason you feel you want that, then you take it off.
Mm-hmm.
So unless you're actually going back and reviewing all of your drives, you know, you're not exactly watching the dash cam as you drive. At least I hope you're not.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how that works. I was thinking you meant like a police dash cam, but you just meant like a general public dash cam.
Any dash cam. Okay. Yeah. Police dash cam, general public dash cams, because they're essentially the same thing.
Yeah.
These days, now with what's out there. I'm just thinking with the sheer amount of people who have them, because it's not just the police anymore, if that will increase the odds of capturing more activity.
I don't know.
Interesting thought. But it would be a fun idea. I wonder if anyone's done this. I'm sure it probably exists somewhere. Just cameras in a cemetery and just leave them up year-round. You know, like security-esque type cameras, mm-hmm, or something. And then people who are into the paranormal, like people sit there and watch eagles, you know,
yeah,
or whatever online, and just sit there for days staring at them while they work. You know, you'd have people who would just sit there and pull that up on their desktop while they work throughout the day and just kind of glance over at the cemetery and see if anything. There's been some haunted houses that have done that.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get an influx now of emails saying, hey, there's this, and that. So,
well, I would check it
exists.
Out. I want to know.
I'm sure it exists. Lucinda writes in, I wrote last year about my ghost kitty, which was probably too short to be read on the air. However, something has happened which is hard to explain as anything else but a new twist in the story. In the first story, I explained how our house, which was built in the 70s and has had several owners before us, seemed to have a ghost kitty. Although we have live cats in the house now, ghost kitty showed up before we moved our cats from our former house to the new house. Consequently, we did bring them to the new house. No cat slept with us in the master bedroom for a long time. The bedroom had to be painted before we moved, and because the stains on the wall, about a foot high in several places. Our conclusion was that it had been a former male cat marking his territory. It wasn't long after we moved in that we could feel the familiar feeling of the cat jumping onto the bed and slowly walking up between us. We would reach out, but there was nothing there. Ghost Kitty continues to visit, although not as frequently, as we have four other cats that enjoy sleeping with us at night. Recently, Ghost Kitty visited during the day. The four cats were sleeping at the head of the bed on various pillows. At the foot of the bed was a familiar lump shape of a cat sleeping under the comforter. Our other cats, from time to time, hide under the comforter, and I, in turn, put my hands on them to surprise them in a playful way. As I put my hands on the lump under the comforter, I felt the physical outline of a cat, bones and all. In an instant, the lump flattened and my hands were left flat on the bed. I'd expected to see the cat scurry from under the comforter, but there was nothing, and all four cats were accounted for. No cat scurried from anywhere. This was the first time I've actually felt a hard body ghost, if only for an instant. I do have a question for you both. Since I have been listening to your show, I've experienced more supernatural occurrences in a short time. The latest being just yesterday when I saw a ghost in broad daylight on the parking garage near the office where I work. We are located near the court, and I often see well-groomed lawyers walking, dressed in suits and carrying briefcases towards court or to their parked cars. As I was walking my usual route, I will admit, I was totally lost in my own thoughts and not really engaged with time or the world. In fact, I was angry and was brooding in my very emotional thoughts. As I was halfway to the stairwell, which I would take downstairs to my office, I saw a well-groomed 60-ish-aged lawyer, gray suit, gray hair, with briefcase, come up from the stairwell and head towards his car. A very large van obscured his car from my view. As I approached the area where the lawyer's car should be, there wasn't a car. I looked inside the van and no one was there. I remember that I did not hear the sound of a car door open or close. The lawyer simply vanished. You would think after seeing a ghost I'd be in a panic, but the whole thing was so natural I just thought it odd. I can only assume this was one of those imprinted type ghosts. So my question is, number one, could just the renewed interest in ghosts which your show has generated in my life enable me to see ghosts? Up until now, I've only felt ghosts, except possibly once as a child, experienced smells, or very low-level encounters with dead friends and relatives. As I've written before, I mainly just see things in my mind's eye. Now I've actually seen one. Number two, does this mean I will be seeing more? Very interesting question, and one that has come up on the show before from folks who say they're suddenly seem to be encountering more of that as they listen to our show. I'm of the opinion of, I don't know that you're necessarily encountering any more than you had in the past. I just feel like you're maybe more aware now than before. I mean, when I watch a show, or if I get into a series on some sort of topic or theme, which I do quite often, and it's kind of obsessive, and it's, you know, that's how I've always been. I have a bit of an obsessive personality on things, and I'll get into something. Then while I'm on that kick, if you will, I'll be much more aware of things relating to that topic. So if you're into the show and you're listening quite frequently, I would imagine you would be more sensitive or more interested or more aware of things that are out of place in the realm of possibly being paranormal than not. No, just my thoughts. I don't necessarily feel like you're having more things being attracted to you, or, you know, you're being haunted. I just think it's, you might be a little more aware. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Hazel writes in, hi there, I've always been very interested in the paranormal and recently started listening to True Ghost Stories on YouTube. I believe Real Ghost Stories Online is what you're referring to. I've listened to so many as of late that I've begun to find it difficult to find ones I have not watched before, so I absolutely am delighted to find your channel. In any case, let's get on to my story. On Halloween night many years ago, as incredibly cliche as it sounds, but there you go, my little cousins, my Nana, my Ma, and I were listening. We're sitting at the kitchen table, checking out our halls and just having a laugh. All of a sudden, we hear a knock at the back door. Thinking someone must have jumped over the wall, my Nana opened it to see who it was, but there was no one there. The little kids began to get very scared at this point, not to mention everyone else. So to calm them down, my Nana started saying, it's okay, don't worry, it's just the man, and proceeded to invite whoever, or whatever, it was inside. We were all a little freaked out, but eventually forgot about it and went on with our night. After this occurrence, however, strange things began to happen. My mama would be in the bathroom fixing the towels on the rack, only to turn her back and then find them rumpled up and messed up again. She would also sometimes feel as if something was flying quickly around her head, making her feel ill, and basically everyone in our house is often felt as if they were being watched or followed. One day I even saw a door slam right in front of my eyes after I had shouted at my little brother to close it after him. The worst part happened a few years ago when I woke up one night to find a man sitting next to my bed. I knew even in my semi-conscious state, if I freaked out, it would make the situation 10 times worse, so I think I might have said a hello or something before falling back asleep. The next, and hopefully the last time I saw this figure was at a time when I would hear a bell. sometimes coming from outside, sometimes from inside, being struck before going to sleep, and would then wake up at 3 a.m. or thereabouts for a period of at least 3 weeks. It was around this time I saw him again, standing in the middle of my room with his fist bowled in a very defensive demeanor. I was terrified and hid under my blankets until I fell back asleep. After describing him to my mom, or rather, what I could see he was wearing from his shadowy outline, my mom said he sounded like my great-granddad, as he always wore a trilby like this figure. So I don't know whether to be confronted that, or comforted that my granddad is possibly protecting me from whatever my Nana let in our house that night, or scared by the figure I've seen sitting sentinel by my bedside at night. I hope my story isn't too long, or that you, and that you enjoyed reading it. Keep up the good stuff, guys. Interesting story. One of those where you feel, I don't know, I guess somewhat comforted, but at the same time, somewhat disturbed that there's a ghost in your home. I think it's just kind of that factor of the unknown that you'll never really be able to completely confirm that that would be, in fact, your grandpa or great-grandpa. At least my mind would always be going, well, what if it's something else? I really think it's this, but what if it is, in fact, something that's not necessarily there to wish me well? 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. To show your real ghost story, you can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And of course, like we've been saying, the new EPP website up and running, all of the content up there, all of our bonus episodes up there for you to enjoy. Please sign up, become an EPP, check it out, and you can log in. You'll get your password and all that. And that $5 a month goes to keep our show on the air. Covers a lot of our hard costs of producing this show, the bandwidth, the websites, all that fun stuff that comes along with it. So please do support the show. Morgan writes in, I recently moved from my hometown in Washington down to Central Oregon. Been staying with my boyfriend and his best friend of 18 years at their home while we look for our own place. The house we have been staying in is apparently haunted. I found that out myself the hard way. Twice a week, I'm alone in this house from 10 p.m. when his friend leaves for work till 4 a.m. when my boyfriend gets home from work. During this time, I've experienced quite a few different things. I'm terrified to go upstairs alone at night. I don't know what it is, but every time I go up there alone, I feel uncomfortable and like I could be attacked by something unseen. The bathroom is the worst. I refuse to shower in there if nobody is in the house. The last time and only time I showered alone in there, something or someone opened the locked door and asked how much longer I was going to be in there. I answered thinking that someone was home. Upon getting out and finding out that I was the only one there was unnerving for me, especially since the door was locked when I had started my shower. The second time I had a run-in with whatever is in the house, I was in the downstairs garage. I was going through some of our personal belongings looking for something when it felt like I was being watched with some very uncaring eyes. I felt like I was in their space and they weren't happy I was there. I quickly found what I was looking for, left the garage, and didn't go back out there until there was someone else home. My third experience in this house came just the other night when I was sitting out in the front walkway around 2 a.m. I was listening to my music with one headphone in and the other out. I heard a distinct conversation going on in the living room just inside the front door. It was so clear I could almost hear everything that was being said. I couldn't work up the courage to go back in the house until my boyfriend got home from work at 4 a.m., so I sat outside and waited. I feel like I'm always being watched in that house, even while I sleep. It sounds corny, but it's happening a lot more frequently. I just want to get out at times, and I'm looking forward to moving into our own place soon. Hope you enjoyed my story. It may be good enough to share. What an incredible feeling of being trapped. That alone would just be so unnerving. I hate that feeling of like you're stuck and you can't change the situation. And that would be very much how that would feel. It's horrible when it's in your own home. Just sitting there waiting for someone to come home because you don't feel comfortable enough to go inside. That is not a fun thing to go through. I hope things do change for you very soon. Afton writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny, love your show and anticipate becoming an EPP very soon. My story is long, but I think you'll enjoy it. Let me start the story by giving you some background on my childhood home in the outskirts of Fort Worth, Texas. My father found the lot with only a frame of a small barn-shaped house on the property. My mother and father finished the house and moved in 1982. I've not heard of any instances in the house prior to me being born in 1985. The first story I remember hearing was from my mom. She stated that when I was an infant, I had been sick and running a fever on and off. She had left me in my crib with no blanket in case my fever broke before she went to bed. She woke around midnight and went to check on me, and the blanket had been laid back over me. The next day was from my dad. I was under two, and he said he had woken up early for work one morning around 4:30 a.m., He said as he crossed his bedroom and headed for the stairs, he heard music coming from my room across the hall. He walked into my room to see the wind-up porcelain figures all going off at once up on the high shelf. My mother was asleep at the time, so was I. I'd added several small happenings at the house, but I can't recall all of them. My mother, however, didn't seem to see or hear anything, but she did say that I would talk to Meemaw, who passed away months before I was born. Even stranger, I would sit up and play in her chair that my mom inherited and tell her I was playing with Meemaw. My experience at this house happened when I was around 7 years old. It was Easter weekend. It will make sense why I remember later in my story. I was waiting for my mom and my older sister to get ready to go shopping for an Easter dress. I was waiting in the living room, sitting on a big sofa couch, dangling my feet, singing songs, whatever 7-year-old girls do. When I see the almost glowing outline of a woman who walked straight out of the bottom of our staircase and walked across the living room towards the front door and right through it. She never looked at me or made a sound, and I felt as if I was frozen until she was gone. As soon as my mind wrapped around what I'd just seen, I got up and ran into the bathroom where my mom was getting ready and began telling her what I had seen. She dismissed me, and I did not believe me. My sister didn't either until I began to cry and insist that I had seen what I had saw. The next day was Easter Sunday, and I had gotten two Easter baskets that year, one from my mom and one from the Easter Bunny. My mom asked that I hold the two baskets up so that she could take a picture. A few weeks later, when I had the film developed, my mom was floored when she came to the picture of me standing in front of the stairs holding my two Easter baskets. You could clearly see the white outline of a figure that appeared to have long hair, wearing a veil, peering over me as if she was looking into the baskets. Everyone who has seen this picture has been amazed at how clear it is. I've tried to find it and have not had any luck just yet. My mom has moved a lot in the recent years, and my father passed away last year. The next story I will tell on my older sister's behalf. She had come to spend the weekend with our dad. By this time, my parents were divorced and my mom had moved out, so Dad had the house to himself. He no longer would sleep upstairs in the master bedroom. He had built another master room downstairs. My sister had brought her fiancé over as well, so they decided to stay the night. They started off by sleeping upstairs in one of the bedrooms. They were watching TV before they fell asleep, and my sister used the remote to turn it off. Shortly after, the TV turned back on. She turned it off, and then again it came back on. Finally, she turned it off, and it stayed off, and they drifted to sleep. Hours later, my sister awoke to find her fiancé struggling with something. He wasn't making any noises, just grabbing his chest and throat as if he was trying to push something off of him. She reached over and grabbed him, and as soon as she did, he caught his breath and told her she was strangling him. My sister didn't see anything, and they both assumed he was dreaming. At this point, they were a little shook up and decided to go sleep downstairs. They got comfortable on the pull-out couch and settled back down again. Minutes later, they began to hear footsteps and pitter-patter coming from upstairs as if something was being chased. They did decide to leave and not stay at the house any longer. They explained the next day to my dad what had happened, and he just laughed it off as it was nothing new to him. My dad loved his house and seemed to be sensitive to the spirits that lived there. After his memorial, my husband and I rode back to his house to bring my stepmother to his ashes. I had felt sick, sad, and uncomfortable all day due to the circumstances. As we pulled into the driveway, I couldn't help but feel as though a load was lifted off me, and I almost got excited to go in. I think it was my dad happy to be home. I haven't had any experiences outside of that house, and in the recent years, the activity has seemed to stop. Thank you for reading my story. Thank you for sharing your story with us. I wonder if your dad is now with those very spirits that were haunting that home, and if he somehow felt very much at peace with them when he was alive, and now he's at peace with them together. Interesting story. Wonder what happened. I'd love to hear what happened with your sister and the fiancé, if there was something that didn't like the fiancé for some reason. Are they still together? Did it all work out well? Never know. Sometimes when you have something like that, it's a sign or something. Or not at all. Just an aggressive spirit. If you like the show, please support it. Become an EPP, extra podcast person. Keep our show on the air. Sign up on the website. RealGhostStoriesOnline.com is where you can do that. And thank you in advance for supporting the show. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.